Hug Sameach, and welcome to the Shofar Ministry program. This is Dan with my joyful partner in life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, honey, and I as well wish the body of Christ a Hag Sukkot Sameach, which means we hope you had a joyous Feast of Tabernacles.
Well, yeah, because it traditionally ended yesterday.
It did. However, since we have Jesus residing in our tabernacle, the season of joy is always in our hearts, mm-hmm. which, as we said last week, is why he chose this season to be birthed into this world. So tonight, we will be focusing mostly on the eighth day of Tabernacles, as recorded in Leviticus 23, verses 36 through 39. Because it, too, the eighth day has a significant meaning, not just to the Jews, but to his church.
And actually, even more so.
You know, I agree. But first, let's welcome the Holy Spirit, our real teacher, to be with us and all the listeners in a mighty way tonight.
Abba, Father, we welcome your Holy Spirit presence tonight, our comforter, because we can, as we are called by your name. We ask that you keep our burdens light and relieve our many stresses that accompanies our hectic lives these days, so to better focus on things that truly matter as we put on the garment of praise for the spirit of any heaviness. We lift up to you our president for wisdom and divine protection, as well as our recent prayer request. And as always, we continue to pray for the salvation of all our loved ones. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, any important news?
Well, it has been a tumultuous week.
It has.
Between what's going on in Syria and this very unfair joke of an impeachment, now holding closed-door meetings of subpoenaed witnesses in the basement of the Capitol. No transcripts are being released, and we mostly only hear what Adam Schiff is leaking.
Well, you know, they demanded transparency from the Mueller report, but now they're avoiding it.
I know. Pelosi is not calling for a full impeachment vote because she knows if she did, then President Trump's attorneys would be able to call their own witnesses and would also have subpoena power and then able to cross-examine their witnesses. And all proceedings would then be made public.
Well, that's the last thing that the Dems want, you know.
I just hope they soon realize that this is not the right way to proceed. Meanwhile, there are some in Hollywood who are boldly inferring Trump should be assassinated. One even said, like JFK.
Well, keep praying that no weapon formed against him shall stand.
Amen, for sure. And adding fuel to the impeachment fire is the Turkey crisis, where the Kurds have had to leave their homes on its border with Turkey. The question remains, are our troops coming home, like he said, to fulfill his campaign promise? Not so far, but instead they are actually being moved to northwestern Iraq to stop ISIS, they say, from reemerging, and to protect some oil fields. But this area has a high population of Kurds who are pretty mad at us right now. And so the Iraqi military said they don't want us. They don't want another 1,000 troops added to the already 5,000 troops that we have there.
Yeah, it's still quite a mess.
But we'll probably never know the real backstory. But the five-day ceasefire, you know, with Turkey ended today. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
And hopefully President Trump has a good plan for all this.
And the Kurds come out all right. As Turkey moves in, and also Russia, who is taking over our abandoned air bases, I understand, in Syria. And by the way, Putin met with Turkey's President Erdogan today. And we'll have a lot more on this next week.
Update on Israel.
Well, Prime Minister Netanyahu turned 70 yesterday, but no present, because he actually failed to form a coalition.
So now Benny Gantz gets a try.
Some are concerned that he will let the Arab parties join in to achieve at least the 61 seats needed to be the next prime minister. But if he can't, both parties could join together but that seems highly unlikely at this point. So then, a third election would happen next March.
So, Bibi would remain prime minister till then?
Yes, which could delay the decision on Israel's attorney general on deciding whether to indict Bibi on bribery and fraud charges.
Okay, moving on. Thousands of Catholics have been rising up against the Pope.
Yes, they are calling him a heretic, much resulting from Rome's recent synod down in the Amazon, where Catholic priests accepted, exalted, and even took part in pagan worship. Then they brought it back to Rome. The Church of Santa Maria near St. Peter's Basilica had to remove naked female statues from the altar area over the weekend.
Gosh, any good news?
Well, people are still coming to Jesus.
Hey, amen to that.
Amen.
All right, then. You can send your end time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message 2440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. If you appreciate this type of teaching, please partner with us by considering a love offering to help with our expenses and to keep us on the air, and always greatly appreciated. And we'll add your name to our correspondence list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning. And especially helpful if you missed any of the studies on the fall feast.
Right, so be sure to take advantage of that.
Okay, just a quick review of last week's Tabernacles teaching.
Yes, of course, again, outlined in Leviticus 23. But during this week-long Festival of Tabernacles, which is also Jesus' earthly birthday, they would reside in a sukkah, or a barn-like outbuilding made mostly of branches and leaves, so that they could see through the ceiling at God's beautiful creation, particularly the stars. Now, this week of Tabernacles is a memorial of their time spent in the wilderness, where God took care of them completely. Also, Jesus again would be born later, and that would be in a sukkah.
Nehemiah chapter 8 has another more detailed description.
Right. Now, we explained some of the ceremonies during Tabernacles last week, as in the waving of the lulav.
A typology of diversity.
Right, showing that anyone from anywhere can join the family of God. We also looked at another great typology, a ceremony titled the House of the Water Pouring, which we'll discuss again in a few minutes. But that's held on the seventh day, which is called Hoshana Rabbah,
which was led by a priest called the Pierced One.
That's right. Where they would retrieve in a gold vessel living water from the Pool of Siloam, and then mix it with wine and would pour it out upon an altar. Of course, this represents the blood and water to be poured out by Christ on the altar of the cross.
Well, he is our living water.
Amen. And that concluded our program last week, and we want to begin this week with some more names associated with this festival, and then finish with the significance of the eighth day, that extra day that points totally to Jesus, like most everything does.
Well, it's all about him.
Oh, I certainly agree. And did you know that according to Zechariah 14:16, this is the one feast that everyone in the millennial kingdom should come to celebrate? Tabernacles in Jerusalem, or he won't give them any rain.
Pretty mandatory, I'd say.
Anyhow, this feast has other idiomatic phrases like
the Feast of All Nations,
because it's for all peoples. Every year in Israel, you will see many nations carrying their own flags who will be attending.
Feast of Dedication,
because Solomon dedicated his temple during this feast.
And the Greater Feast of Lights,
where they lit 75-foot candles, I think four of them, every sundown, which would light up all Jerusalem. And according to John 8, it was at this time that Jesus cried out for all of them to hear,
"I am the light of the world."
So very fitting to have been born on the first day of the Feast of Lights.
So it just fits like a puzzle.
Right. And by connecting the dots, we can also know then that 280 days earlier, he was placed in Mary's womb, which just happens to be the eighth day of Hanukkah.
Also called the Feast of Lights.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Jesus' number is the number 8.
Right, and it represents eternity because it's never ending.
Mm. And it's also called the Feast of Ingathering.
Because all of the fall harvest would be gathered in as a type of his righteous sheep, recorded in Matthew 25, and the parable in Matthew 13 of the separation between the wheat and the tares, who are then finally thrown in the fire when he returns with us at the end of the tribulation. And of course, then he will set up his kingdom on earth.
And will tabernacle physically with us again.
Amen. But this time, of course, it'll be as our ruler and our king, ushered in with the marriage supper of the Lamb right down here on earth as we all partake. Now, some will be the bride. Actually, then we are called his wife, according to Revelation 19:7.
Well, and you know, some will be tribulation saints.
And, of course, the 144,000 Messianic Jews and the martyred resurrected saints who were waiting under the altar.
Okay, now let's dive into that very special eighth day of the feast.
Okay, and as we just said, Jesus' number is 8. And we know, as ordered by God in Leviticus 12, that all baby boys must be circumcised on the eighth day after their birth. Also, we now know that the blood clots more quickly on the eighth day.
And only on the eighth day after birth.
That's because of vitamin K, which just happens to be at its peak only on the eighth day, which stops possible hemorrhaging.
So, today, so not to have to wait the 8 days, hospital, give us a shot of vitamin K.
But still, God gave the instructions thousands of years before they really knew about the importance of clotting. This is one of those gold nuggets, you know, that you can use when witnessing to someone who thinks the Bible was just written by man and not inspired.
As so many other facts do as well.
For sure. Which, by the way, we covered some of them earlier this year, dated August 16th.
Archived on our website, shofarministries.net.
It is. Now, Abraham's circumcision was a type of the old blood covenant, the shedding of blood as a typology of Christ shedding his blood, symbolizing the new blood covenant.
Yeah, and what about that writing in the dirt episode?
Yes, let's speak on that, since it did happen on the eighth day of the feast.
Well, it's also recorded in John chapter 8.
And we know it is the eighth day because Scripture tells us it was the next morning after the great day, which is a title for Hoshana Rabbah, which is on the seventh day of Tabernacles. And you can read about that in John 7:37. So, therefore, the eighth day, being a high Sabbath, Leviticus 23:39, Jesus went to the temple. Now, he knew that besides the Torah readings, they would also read a few passages from the prophets as well. And that day they would have read out of Jeremiah, because that was tradition, because Jeremiah speaks about the fountain of living water from chapter 17, verse 13. Where they conducted an elaborate ceremony of the living water. And we're going to read that in a minute. But first, let's recall this very interesting episode that happened right after the temple service.
So, Jeremiah's scripture would still be fresh in their mind since they had just read it.
Right. So, here's the backstory. It's recorded in John chapter 8. And it's about the woman caught in adultery who they brought to Jesus. The Pharisees said she should be stoned and wanted his opinion. Now, we know Yeshua forgave the woman, but we seldom discuss what else he did. So let's read John chapter 8, verse 5, and what they said to Jesus on this eighth and final day of the feast.
Now, Moses, in the law, commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one.
Something clicked. They got it. They totally knew what Jesus was doing, and so no one accused her.
So, what did he write?
Well, we've heard many explanations, but most overlook the scripture from Jeremiah that was not only read in the temple that day, but also probably just heard a sermon on it, particularly because Jeremiah speaks on the fountain of living waters. So, here's what Jeremiah 17, verse 13 says.
O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters.
Remember I explained the ceremony of the living water called the house of the water pouring? So he more than likely wrote their names in the earth, which was a symbol of being doomed to the grave. They knew they were not without sin.
So they dare not accuse her.
You know, time and time again, we can see that Yeshua taught the people deep messages of himself, especially during these festivals, which were very important for them. And, of course, God wanted them to be. How much more important for us to learn and to see Jesus in them and the awesomeness of God to have pre-planned and organized these events as a major teaching tool, way in advance, detail by detail. It truly is amazing. It's so phenomenal to me that I actually have to catch my breath whenever I think of all that and all that he has maneuvered so that we can understand and see him in a deeper a much brighter light. This is, as I often say, why knowing Hebraic roots is such a blessing, because you see the hidden details of God, and that truly does increase your faith, because more Jesus, more faith. It's just that simple. Okay, so the eighth day of Tabernacles is also called Shemini Atzeret, which means the closing assembly of the eighth day, an extra Sabbath. So they did go to their assembly, a symbol for the millennial kingdom, which is a 1,000-year Sabbath. Well, another name for the eighth day is Simchat Torah, which means rejoicing in the Torah, because they would finish reading the whole Torah, that's the first five books of Moses, in 1 year. So they would finish with Deuteronomy 34, and then the same day they would begin all over again by reading from Genesis 1. And that shows us that the Torah, well, they thought of it as a circle, never ending, so like eternity, which is why it occurs on the eighth day of Tabernacles. Now you see, every Saturday, the same sequential reading of the five books of Moses is read all around the world in all the synagogues. So on Simchat Torah, they would celebrate the starting over of the reading of the Torah. which is why on the eighth day of Tabernacles, the number for eternity, which means, of course, never ending, as we've been saying. So again, this is why Jesus' number is 8, because he's never ending, for he is the Torah. And in fact, he is the entire word. But listen to this. A quote on a totally Jewish website says this. Totally Jewish now. It says, on Simchat Torah, we rejoice in the Torah, and the Torah rejoices in us. Wow. The Torah, too, wants to dance, so we become the Torah's dancing feet. Now, I just love that. I just know that they don't understand what they're really saying, but it's very fitting because for us, he really is inside. And on this day, they really do literally hold these big Torah scrolls, and they look heavy, while they sing and they dance in the street. I actually was there during Tabernacles, and I saw them doing that with my own eyes. Everyone was happy, and right in the middle of the street, they'd be dancing, and to see these Jewish men with their hats and their curls and just holding up the Torah and just really rejoicing in this feast. It's just an amazing time. If you can ever go during Tabernacles, that would be a blessing. One of their famous songs sung on the eighth day of this feast is called Sisu Vi Simku, which means let us rejoice all together on Simchat Torah. And give honor to God's Torah. And here's a noteworthy true fact. Did you know in the Gematria, which is the numbering system for letters in both Greek and Hebrew, all of Jesus' names are divisible evenly by 8 with nothing left over? No remainder. This is so amazing. Let me just give you some examples before we run out of time here. But the Greek name for Jesus, meaning Savior, is Jesus. And it has a value of, well, first of all, the I is a value of 10, H has a value of 8, S is 200, O is 70, U is 400, and S is 200. Now you add all those together, and it's 888. Now, looking in Hebrew at names given to Jesus, the pattern remains the same. Christ is 1480, divisible by 8. Savior is 1408, divisible by 8. The Lord is 800, of course, divisible by 8. Messiah is 656, divisible evenly by 8. Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man, a term which occurs 88 times and has a gematria of 2960, which is divisible evenly by 8. And even the word truth is number 64, and of course that's 8 times 8. How could a man have planned all that? There's no way. The probability of any randomly chosen number being evenly divisible by 8 is 1 in 8. But the chances of just 4 of his names being evenly divisible by 8 is 1 in 4,096. Yet the probability of this consistency simply occurring by accident with 7 names would be 1 in an astonishing 2,097,152. The scriptures are divinely inspired. And man's number is 6, but we're soon going to be a 7. And that means complete. And of course, Jesus will always be an 8, meaning perfection. It's time to know him better. Let me leave you with the blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.